Well, as I mentioned in the first hour, we'll carve out a few minutes at the end just to have some open line fun before we go. And it's so nice to be hearing from people that we haven't spoken with for so long. And one of those is our guest. And I'm just tickled by the way in which I have been introduced to a new concept and new vocabulary that I think I'll be using for the rest of my life: heightened eventfulness. I think that's a perfect description for how some things in life seem to work. And I respect so much what Dr. Paul Gerson is saying here, and his partner George Hart as well, on the idea that there are just these times, these seasons in our life, and that they fully admit that time is such a concept that perhaps, we just are too close to it to understand what's happening, but that you can, by tracking it over time, have a bigger picture, sort of a, if you pardon the expression, a God's eye view of time. And that's just where we're going with this, is what you all think. All the phones are blistering hot. We'll come back to your questions, maybe even your challenges, to Dr. Ball on this, and where some of the other people that I asked him to track fall into it. Like, when we come right back, I'm just kind of curious, what does he know about some of the people in the news, or at least thinks he can tell us based on their time tracks? Next on Coast to Coast AM, my name's Ian Punnett. We're talking about the Merlin Project, the scientifically based forecasting technology that would seem to show us the kind of patterns in our lives that have already happened, and then therefore, like ripples in a pond, might be happening again in a predictable manner in the future. And then what we could learn from those and how those might change our lives too. Dr. Paul Gerson is here. We'll get back to the phones here in just a minute. Let me ask you, Paul, if I can, though, about people we mentioned before, like Jeb Bush. I was just kind of curious because, Jeb Bush, at one point being talked about as being a, potential candidate for the presidency, but here's his brother in office now, and some popularity issues and other things. So can't we say that, we can't really tell what how a time track for somebody like Jeb Bush, how it might lead to his becoming president, but we could see, for example, in a time track that he might make a run for presidency or something. We just can't tell what the outcome would be. Would that be fair to say?
Well, that might be one way of looking at it. Let me get back to Jeb Bush for a second. One of the things that we've all taken to forgetting these days is that, and I can tell you this from having had the experience in the last year of talking to literally tens of thousands of Coast to Coast listeners, there are a whole bunch of you listeners out there that don't have internet access and don't know how to contact us. And I want to get it in because it's important that they have some way to get access to us directly. There's a toll-free number to do that, and there's a U.S. postal mailing address. And I want to make sure we get it out there because we've been on for 2 hours, and I know that there's a lot of people out there who are not online and have no computer and no way of access to a computer that they can't get hold of us. So let me, if with your indulgence, let me just give that information out quickly, and then we'll get to Jeb Bush. We have a toll-free number for information and for copies of excuse me, of this How the Future Happens pamphlet that your online people can download. If they'd like to call us and get some information, it's a toll-free number. It's 1-866-298-7688. That's, again, toll-free, 1-866-298-7688. The mailing address is in New Hampshire. It's a New Hampshire mailing address. It's Post Office Box 1241, Seabrook, New Hampshire. And our zip up here is 03874. Let me give it out once more. Merlin Project, Post Office Box 1241, Seabrook, New Hampshire. And the zip is 03874. And the online people, they know how to get to everything. They can get to your site. They can get to our site. But all your friends out there who don't have access, we just wanted to make sure they knew. Jeb Bush has a very interesting timeline. And one of the things that jumps out at both George and I is the level of activity that was going on during the 2000 election campaign. And one of the things that we know is that there was a tremendous amount of political movement going on in Florida in that period of time that has been questioned by investigators. And we now know that if the Democrats had been willing to allow a complete recount, the numbers would have been different and so on. The single most important person in the universe at that point was Jeb Bush. And if you take a look at the trend line right at the time of the 2000 election and for the period immediately thereafter, that trend line just goes crazy.
What does that mean to you?
Well, it means to me that if in the period of time coming up, for instance, where we see Jeb Bush's trend line sort of rocketing up in early 06 and then getting very busy in the period of time right after that, late 06, early 07, I believe he's term limited in the governorship, and I'm not sure whether it ends in November of 06 or where. I don't know exactly where that terminal point is. But one of the things that's really interesting is that the way Merlin operates is that things that happened 6.5 to 8 years ago have an echo. Now, you were talking about sort of dropping rocks in a pond and watching the concentric circles go out. Well, that's a little bit like what we're talking about. And if the rock getting dropped in the pond was the election of 2000 on Jeb Bush's run, then the echo point for that would be about 6.5 to 8 years later. And look at the trend line at the 6.5 to 8 year mark on his trend line.
Well,
my suspicion is that something about that whole period of time may come to light in much the same way as we're finding out things like there weren't any WMDs, and now we're finding out that maybe they already knew there weren't any WMDs. That's what the Downing Street memo basically is all about. One of the things that Merlin does is, and we're very good at it from a political standpoint, one of the things that we look to is what event happened at a particular point in someone's life, and where would the echo be? And what kinds of things might that echo then produce? In other words, what kind of changes might come along at that next obvious juncture that has something to do with its origination? Now, in the case of these trend lines here for Jeb Bush, the origination point was back around 2000 and early 2001. And we know what was going on then.
Well, just to make the point.
In the same way as Elian Gonzalez, for instance, run shows this echo now, and what I said to you is maybe it's yet another episode like his that comes to the fore over the next several months or a year, and we would then immediately have all of this video of the original case, and we would talk about it, and we would remember what happened, and we'd go through the whole thing as though, as George was talking about earlier, almost like reliving it in a sense. But because the echo happened, the echo came along, and this was the echo from that event. So in the Elian Gonzalez run, there you can see the echo in this window of time that we're in right now.
Yeah,
for Jeb Bush, it's next year.
But to go by what you had said, and I think this is important to note, I mean, I have a lot of friends in the news business, and I don't know that there is consensus that if the Democrats had done something differently, then the outcome would have been different. I just want to finish. I mean, I don't know that that's true, but judging by what you said earlier, anyway, it wouldn't seem to matter because the echo of that, whatever that event was, we still don't know necessarily the nature of what the echo will be. We just know that there will be some activity.
Well, yes, except that the activity has something to do with the original event.
So it could come out for that no matter what had happened, that election, as it might turn out, we could find out a year from now than that the echo is that it turned out to be completely the proper outcome. We could
find out that, and that's exactly true.
Okay.
The only problem with that is that there's lots of question marks going sort of in the other direction. So one would have, and when you're in the prediction business, and this is something that people have to understand about doing forecasting. If I was a weather forecaster, I might have an investment in Saturday being nice and sunny because I'm going to a barbecue. But I'd be a lousy weather forecaster if I predicted my weather based on that I would like it to be sunny on Saturday. What we do when we're doing this, and it's partly a matter of the mathematics gets us into the arena. And then being good news junkies starts to come in. And one of the things that people assume when they listen to some of that is, well, these people have an agenda. I suppose that depends on what show you're listening to us on. We were on with Alan Combs, who does Hannity and Combs, and the left-wing blogs wrote that we were right-wing shills and that we were out there to set an agenda. And they even drew parallels. They know Matt Drudge. They know Richard Pearl. George works for the SDI program. The fact of the matter is that we're mostly in the business of trying to be right,
okay,
trying to make the right call given both the timetable and the likely way the wind is blowing. Now, when we did the Iraqi runs, for instance, back in 03, we saw a very short war with a very long aftermath and no roses, nobody meeting us in the streets with open arms. And at the time, we got lots of criticism for all of that. Until we look back on it now, we had to look at things like Saddam Hussein's run. We had to look at a war that Bush won, Bush Senior prosecuted, and the way it was done, the timetable of that. We put all of those pieces together, and then they start to tell a story. And we'd be lousy forecasters, no matter what our personal political persuasions might be, if we didn't point that out. And like the weatherman who'd like it to be sunny on Saturday, if there's a front coming through, hey, he's not going to have a real good barbecue.
Well, let's bring in some other people on the phone on this, because I think you're touching on some subjects which come to mind when people start thinking about kind of tracking the future, and that's the future of our country and time tracking. The political futures of people in the news. So let's go to the wild card line. And I don't even know who's hanging on, but I just know the phones. What's that? Eric, of the wild card line on Coast to Coast AM. Eric?
Yeah, Eric.
Hi.
I missed the portion where he was talking about how how his system differs from astrology.
Well, what we're doing is we're finding moments in the future where there is what we're calling heightened eventfulness.
Uh-huh.
The eventfulness at those points takes on a characteristic that echoes an earlier event. So in other words, let's say you get married at this moment in time.
But you're choosing the time based off a 2-hour period, right?
That's what we would like to do. We often don't have access to that kind of precision. So,
well, Eric, what's your point in that?
With whatever we can get our hands on.
My point is, I'm just calling to back up the other astrologer. I've been studying astrology for 25 years.
Right.
And I have a lot of other astrologers who study as well. And I'm sure that a lot of other astrologers are listening to this right now. And it sounds like I know you studied it for about 25 years. It sounds like you tweaked it a little bit and now you changed it a little bit. But it's basically,
well, if that were the case, somebody else is welcome to tweak it and do the same thing. The fact of the matter is the astrology operates from the perspective that you can predict exact circumstances.
No, it doesn't.
Well, that's what the caller before was suggesting. That maybe you're not suggesting that, but she certainly was. Ian, am I wrong?
Well, let's just, you know what, I tell you what, I think
astrology's been around for so many years for a certain reason. It's been running for like 10,000 years.
Well,
the Hebrews practiced it, the Babylonians. There's also Vedic astrology.
Yes,
Vedic
and nobody's ever been able to turn it into something that produces consistently repeatable.
Yes, they have. The Hindus, the Vedic people have, the Vedic astrology. The Dasha system.
Consistently repeatable results.
Yeah, repeatable results. Ken okay. Rao,
well,
Bibi Rama.
I'll tell you something. I've spent an awful long time studying it, and I've never seen consistently repeatable results.
Who have you studied with?
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what.
That has nothing to do with it.
That's going to get into a lot of X's and O's, but I would suggest, Eric, if you want to, you know, go to the website.
Oh, I have.
Shoot
and also, your software, is it open source or is it closed?
Shoot an email is what
it's
I'm going to say.
Eric,
I'm just going to say do that and then continue on with that conversation, and we'll see what the response would be. Because there's a couple other people that want to get on, and I'd love to be able to leave some time for them, too, because Rick is on the wild card line, too. Rick, for
–
go ahead, Rick.
Yes, Doctor. A couple of things you mentioned earlier when you were talking about sainthood, and you mentioned Pope John the 23rd.
Yes.
Which is very interesting. There's a couple of items that I have that – I think that he might be in for sainthood. What were some of the things that you would have listed under that, according to your studies?
Well, I'm not sure that I could give you a list off the top of my head. I think it's more a matter of turning the church on its ear for the first time in hundreds and hundreds of years.
Did any of that have to do with Vatican II?
A lot of it had to do with Vatican II.
There were two things that I learned, maybe you know some others, that he admitted that the Catholic Church lied about Mary Magdalene being a prostitute rather than a high priestess.
Well, you know, I think organized religion is into the controlled dispensing of information business. I noticed, for instance, the Catholic Church was never in a big hurry to put out the third prediction of Fatima and a whole bunch of other stuff. You know, people conveniently forget that. I'm old enough to remember it. I think that when things don't either fit what they would like them to appear to be, there's problems. And religion, like everything else, is run by politics. I think that's largely how the current pope got to be the current pope, if you take a look at the lay of the land. But what's interesting about it is that no matter what religion or organized religious structure you look at, one of the things that George and I can tell you from our studies is when things are this organized, it ain't accidental. Now, if somebody wants to extrapolate from that we've found God, well, maybe they could call it that if they want. I had a mentor in my past, a guy named John Campbell Jr., who actually was the guy who hired Isaac Asimov and gave him his first writing assignment. Campbell said that it might be useful to think of God, for instance, these days, in terms of the laws of the universe, which the more we look, the more organized we find them to be. Organization indicates planning of some sort because you don't get order out of randomness. So when you have organized stuff going on, you've got some kind of plan going on.
Well, let's... Go ahead. I just want to get Joseph in before we get to the bottom of the hour, because he's on the first-time caller line, and he's hanging on for Dr. Paul Gersio. Go ahead, Joseph.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doctor, I have a friend of mine that's in intelligence, and he was over in Area 51.
Yeah.
And he had there was a alien spaceship that came down. I don't know whether it was on its own or what, but anyway, he's between 6'6" and 7 foot tall, and he had three other aliens that ranged between like 5'8", 5'9".
Okay,
and they was doing reverse engineering, but they was telling them what to do.
Joseph, how does this work into the time tracks question?
Okay.
Yeah, I was wondering the same thing.
I'd hate to have you waste your... I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to say that this didn't count as your first time caller experience. I'm going to wipe away that being a first time caller, because I think you don't want to have that in the middle of this conversation, because you won't get your first time caller chit bang for your buck. So you are not officially a first time caller yet. You can use that opportunity another time. Well, I tell you what we'll do. We'll use our opportunity to wrap up a conversation that we've been having and enjoying coming up right after this break, and then we'll open up the phones for the rest of this hour just for fun, and wherever you want to take us for the rest of this hour. But we'll wrap up our conversation with Dr. Paul next on Coast to Coast AM. My name's Ian Punnett. And our guest has been Dr. Paul Gercio, sorry. And as we have been talking about the time track system, which you could link up to, and you could take a look at some of the people that we have already been discussing. One I wanted to get to before we go, though, and I was just kind of curious about it because of how much attention he's gotten in the news, and I think a feeling by some people how there has not yet been justice for Michael Jackson. And I just don't really know about the future and him and some discussions about him leaving the country or this or that. And I know it's fairly People Magazine-ish, but I was just curious what you saw in the time track of Michael Jackson. Dr. Paul?
Well, Michael is on the website. And one of the things that's interesting about Michael's run is that if you take a look in the period of time of very early 05, the late spring, basically, you'll see that the trend line makes an abrupt change. I'm concerned about Michael Jackson in terms of his, you know, health, mental well-being, you know, a bunch of things. Tina Brown had the best line on Michael. She said, either he's a sort of whacked out adult who likes to sleep with young children, or he's a whacked out adult who likes to sleep with young children and molest them. In either case, you're not dealing with a normal person. And maybe it's because he never really had a childhood. So he's trying to make up for it now and has the money to do it, which you and I might not have.
So how do what?
But when but you take well, when you take a look at Michael's run, you see this blast of little twos showing up. What that really translates out to is very emotional, perhaps even medical, but certainly very emotional. And if he manages to revive his career, and we've certainly seen, you know, Madonna's done it four or five times. I'm sure Michael Jackson has the wherewithal to be able to do that. It will be a very different Michael Jackson we're going to see.
Well, that'll be just some of the things that you can find when you're perusing through that website. Link up to it through Coast to Coast AM. Thanks for providing, I think, what is for many people here a very mind-expanding subject and very challenging for other people out there. And so the phone calls have really been quite busy, and I thank you for getting us.
We love doing it, and we enjoyed doing it with you, and we'll look forward to doing it again.
Great. God bless you, and thank you so much.
Have a great holiday weekend.
And say hi to George for us, okay? And a great holiday weekend for everybody. In fact, let's get it started off right. Let's just have some fun. Let's open up the phone lines wherever you want to take us for the rest of this hour. It'll all be up to you. Coming up next on Coast to Coast AM, my name's Ian Punnett. I love the sound of all of these lines locked up, but we'll open them up for you for the rest of this hour. And thank you so much for joining our conversation. Where do you want to take it for the rest of the time? Let's go to the wildcard line. Will is on Coast to Coast AM. Morning, Will.
Hi, Will. How are you doing? This is Will from Cape Cod.
Hey.
Ian, I just wanted to comment on Dr. Paul's timeline for when he talked about the WMDs. And that it was obvious to everyone that there wasn't any, but I beg to differ because, you know, we were attacked September 11th, and they had 5 months to hide them and move them. And, in fact, I have inside knowledge because my brother grew up with a Green Beret and who later became a spy, and those were definitely moved out of the country in the time they had before we even got there to Syria, and that's a fact.
Well, you know, that's interesting, and I there have been a lot of discussions, I don't know if you've been following on Coast to Coast, about what our country knew and how, you know, other military experts feel about how the World Trade Center came down and whether or not there was complicity from other people, and I it's bigger thought than I can handle at this hour, I guarantee you. But it wouldn't surprise me that they had had some things in there in Iraq that got moved out. Although I do think it's very important to keep making this disconnection that Iraq really has nothing to do with the World Trade Center bombings. I mean, there really aren't, there isn't a connection there, right?
Well, except for the fact that there was meetings held with some of the terrorists held there, and there was a making training grounds there.
Well, see, I don't even know that that was proven. I think what's fair to say is that, you know, there are a lot of people that seems to me are getting a pass on the World Trade Center and on 9/11 in general, you know, because I don't want to forget the Pentagon and stuff. But I mean, there's a lot of people that get a pass because we're focusing on Iraq when, you know, the majority of the people that did it were from Saudi Arabia, and the religious position by the people that we associate the Taliban and with Al Qaeda with those sort of attacks, they didn't care for Iraq. Iraq was a country that they wanted to see brought down and made into a Muslim, you know, theocracy, which it wasn't. So I just want to make that clear. I think that's always important to separate those two ideas out.
I agree with that. And the only thing that bothers me too about that is why we never publicized that we knew they moved them. Is that a political move on our part? Are we trying not to shake up too much dust over there with the other countries before, you know, to get any trouble with any other countries? It seems like we're more worried about that.
Well, let's just hope it all ends well, regardless of where we are in it now. And thank you, Will. Let's go to the first time caller line. Rosemary is on Coast to Coast AM. Morning, Rosemary.
Hi, Eric. Thanks for taking my call. I'm calling from Vancouver, British Columbia. What I'd like to talk about is, after listening to the doctor, Paul Grisabo, is that his name?
Gersio.
Yeah. There were several statements there that I didn't agree with. I'm an astrologer. I've studied astrology for 15 years myself. I, too, study star patterns. What he calls star patterns, I study the cycles of the stars as well. And these cycles can be predictive, tools. Now, he's obviously done some predictive things as well when he calls, you know, his program echoes and patterns like that. Those are just the cycles repeating themselves. Now,
wait, you know, I got to tell you,
I've tuned it so much that I just recently told a friend of mine after looking at her chart, I said, you know, you have a lottery win coming up.
And did she win?
Documented because she won. She won $10,000.
Well, when am I going to win my lottery ticket?
Well,
my wife asks me that question every day. She's,
you know what?
I never play the lottery.
It all has to do with the cycle of Jupiter.
Okay, so
Jupiter
when
Jupiter is good luck.
All right, so when I was born on March 3rd, 1960, are you telling me you can predict what day I ought to play the lottery?
I can predict, yes.
All right.
Some people, okay, it's like a doctor. Okay?
But
some doctors are GPs. Okay,
I get it.
As you're educated.
No. Here's all you have to do to win me over forever is tell me which day I've got to go play the lottery so that I can win the lottery and hand that big giant cardboard check to my wife on national television. You just tell me that, and you totally win me over.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. The beauty is that nowadays, since we're in this century,
right?
Years ago, it would have taken me hours to calculate a chart.
Right.
And yes, we use increments of 2 hours because that is the ascendant. When the sun is rising above the horizon, you have to have a fixed point in time and space to be able to calculate.
All right. Well, here's all you need, and then I'll move on. But let me know. I was born March 3rd, 1960, at about 3:30 in the morning. And anybody else out there who was born at that time, you don't get to play the lottery that day, or I'll have to share it with you. So it's this is just okay. Private information with me and Rosemary. Okay, okay. So 3:30 in the morning, March 3rd, 1960, and you'll let me know which day I can win the lottery.
And which city were you born in?
I was born in Wilmette, Illinois, which is just outside of Chicago. And in fact, I was born in my house. I was born at 234 Central Park, Wilmette, Illinois. Won't matter.
I just need the longitude.
On the second floor in what later became my bedroom. Okay. I was a home delivery. All of that. If that can help me win the lottery, you let me know. Okay. And
well,
I think
I'm just trying to. Yeah, I just don't agree with what he was saying that that you cannot predict a time. And
that's fine, you know. Rosemary. I win the lottery. You win the argument. There's no two ways about it. Thank you so much. Let's go east of the Rockies where Charlie is hanging on coast to coast.
Hi. Wonderful show. Talking about Wilmette, that's an unusual name. Just coincidence that I live about two blocks away from a street called Wilmette Drive.
Now, do they spell it O-U-I-L or do they spell it W-I-L?
W-I-L.
Yeah. I like the original French spelling myself, but either way, that's where I was born too, W-I-L, Wilmette, Illinois. Okay. Well, so where are you going to take us, Charlie?
Okay. The reason I'm calling is I've just never heard anything about this. But I had a conversation with a lady a couple of days ago from Castleberry, Florida.
Yes, sir.
And maybe I just missed the whole story, but she's told me about July 4th, 1 year ago, about 7:30 to 8 p.m. at night in the Castleberry area, which is near Longwood, near Sanford, Florida, and north of Orlando, there was apparently a UFO crash or landing. Now, she said what she saw when she looked at us, she heard two or three loud booms, and then they looked in the sky and they could see a yellow, the sky was lit up with a yellow color, and then they waited to find out what it was all about, and one radio station, a couple days later, understand, started to broadcast something about it, and there was no other news report. She went to the site. And she found a large fenced area going up, and NASA trucks there with the NASA, well, actually, they're vans and SUVs with NASA logo on them. And she went up to a one gated area, and a gentleman that came out of a SUV dressed in a suit, and he told her she'd have to leave the area or they would be calling the police. And this is all she said about it. But she said the amazing thing is it's just been completely silent. With NASA there, it has been no news reports, and I'd just like to ask anyone else from that area or just heard anything about Castleberry, Florida, July 4th, 2004 AD, depending on your religious persuasion, of course, to see if anyone else has heard anything about this story.
All right. Well, I think it's July 4th, no matter what religion you are.
But there you go.
Okay. God bless you. I appreciate the question, and I don't know whether that ties in with something that a caller had said earlier about something outside of Orlando on a radio station there. Why NASA would show up with NASA trucks, though, if they're trying to cover it up, you know, wouldn't they go with what they did in Close Encounters? Wasn't it where they put Piggly Wiggly on the side of the trucks? But if somebody saw it, let me know, and we still have time to get to you. Jerry, west of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast AM. Morning, Jerry.
Oh, good morning, and thanks. Ian, if you tear away the clever song and dance leaning hard on the time tracks, that's an astrology program. I come from a very high-tech computer programming background. I'm very familiar with astrology myself. Unfortunately, the astrologers have done such a horrible job of presenting astrology, and religious people, even if they're mildly religious, the Bible comes right out and condemns astrology. So I think what we're seeing is a very fancy song and dance around astrology. When he said he studied astrology for 25 years, and what he's done, in my opinion, is just accumulated a whole bunch of charts and data on events, And he just, I mean, he was going right down the track that any astrologer would say, but he's just put his own words to it.
Well,
and his time tracks are charts laid out flat rather than in circles, in my opinion.
Well, whoever predicts the lottery for me wins, so I'll go back to that proposal. But I'll also throw you this. I actually think, just to make a point on your comment about the Bible, I think the Bible is multivocal on the subject of astrology. And I know the point you're trying to make, that there's a strictness about the way in which people read the Bible against astrology. But knowing that the three wise men, as we call them, were really three astrologers. But astrology had a different feel to it, in the sense that, you know, I think there is a difference when somebody, say, reads a horoscope in the newspaper or a horoscope that was prepared for them by a professional astrologer and makes decisions on how they're going to conduct their day. I think
that what he's saying with time tracks, just in a much different way?
I think what he was saying is that there was times when one should engage more with life-changing decisions because energy was going to be flowing your way.
And that's exactly what any good astrologer would tell you, but not in those exact words. He's very, very good I just wish he would come right out and say, look, 98% of Merlin is astrology and the rest is accumulating bunches of data. The other very disappointing thing is when he said it was proprietary software, that kernel running that software can't be that complicated. Rather than charging $75 to $150 for a chart, he'll call it a time tracks, he would make a lot less money off of the coast audience and a lot of people, but he would do so much good for astrology, humanity. And the question I wish I could have got in is that how good would Merlin be at matching personality types? You've got especially 12 sun signs and 12 moon signs. There's 144 combinations of major personality traits, and you're only going to be really compatible with about 16 of them. And that's where we have so many divorces, and people just don't understand. When you say, hey, I got bad vibes from this guy, and you happen to marry that guy with those bad vibes, it's not going to work.
Well,
you've got to integrate those charts with your kids, and just people just hear the word astrology, especially if they're Christian, and just go screaming out. But my God, with graviton waves being measured, the computers have taken care of the math miscalculations that astrology was plagued with for years and years and years. But my God, people, you're not just one sign. You have to at least calculate it a minimum.
Well, leave it there. And I'll tell you, I'd be interested to take that same idea that you had about the 144 different personality types based on astrology and cross-reference that to something like a Myers-Briggs, the personality analysis that's being done by businesses all over. Well, do we have time for one more? I think Charlene was on the wild card line, and let's get her on Coast to Coast AM. What's that? We'll make it real quick. Don't worry. Charlene will be quick for me.
I promise.
She's not going to get me. You're not going to get me in trouble with these nice people, are you?
Hi, Ian. How are you?
Good. Where are you going to take us here?
Good. I'm calling from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and I'm just calling with kudos. I wanted to say that I love it when you have open line time. It gives us all an opportunity to just say what's on our mind.
Good.
And with all these late nights that I have that go into 7 in the morning and whatnot, I'm so busy writing my lifelong dream of writing my own books. And
okay.
It certainly helps keep me company, and I enjoy the diversity of all your topics. And I want to thank you so much.
Well, we're glad to have you. What are you writing a book about?
Oh, I've got at least 6+ books. I'm writing about my own personal experiences, Middle East experience in the war and whatnot.
Wow.
And many years ago. And the things that I've grown up with and experience that many people may never experience in a lifetime, I want to share. I think there's so much to say and help other people become aware, and it's just it's about time.
Well, you know what? Finish one of those books. Let us know. Who knows? Someday you could be a guest, and then if you were a guest, wouldn't that mean though that we wouldn't be doing open lines?
And we could still have open lines.
Okay, even if you were a guest, we'd still do open
lines. Absolutely.
All right. Well,
Ian.
Thank you. God bless you and everybody who helped put this show together and who stayed with us and played all night long, and all the people at Coast to Coast. So thank you to George. It's always good to hear you early in the morning when I'm heading into work at FM 107 here in the Twin Cities, and Lex and Lisa and Stephanie and Steve and Tom and Curtis and our guests earlier this evening, and to all of you who took the time to get through and call. Love to be able to do this more often. Who knows how that might happen? I guess I'll check my charts or my time tracks or the menu at the Chinese restaurant and see what will happen next. On Coast to Coast AM, I'm Ian Punnett, Deus Tiamat, and we do too.